Feeling under the weather? You can Teladoc that. Actually, for almost everything health-related, checkups, check-ins, and everything in between, you can Teladoc that. Visit TeladocHealth.com to get started. TeladocHealth.com.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Maggie. I wanted to go back. So Maggie talked a little bit about CPRT, child-parent relationship training. And often when I think of CPRT, I think we talk about it as a three-tiered model all the time, you know, which is like how we structure it and kind of how we lay out each session. But I think it's also a three-tier model in the sense that, right, we're helping to focus on the needs of the child. We're helping to focus the parents on their own parental need and their own self-awareness, right? And how they're meeting that need of their child. And then we're focusing on the relationship between the parent and child, right? So that's the three tiers that I think of. And even when I structure feedback and responsiveness, right? Like we start with, how's this impacting your child? What are you noticing on your child? And then I slowly shift into what's happening for you right now? Like, what's going on? I'm noticing you're having a big reaction, or no. What's coming up for you when your child does this? So I really kind of then lean into like self-awareness, how my child is impacting me, how I impact my child, right? Like those internal components, which then helps enhance the relationship. And as we model that for children, right, then our hope, and I think what we've seen in research, is that children then model that back, right? Like we build intergenerational impacts of how people relate to each other. The class is structured in 10 weeks in a group format. We spend the first 3 weeks kind of building group safety and group norms and interconnection between the parents, as well as we're teaching them some really one or two skills. And then in session 4, they begin to do play times with their kids. I like to call them you and me time. Some people will refer to them as special play time. I have an adverse reaction to the word special. It got overused in the hospital all the time. So it like really gets under my skin.
My students hate it.
I know. I also think play time is maybe a little deceiving because we're not training them to be play therapists. And so I think they think they're doing play therapy, right? They're having you and me time to build stronger relationships with their kids. So words are important to me, right? Like they're a commodity and I want to make sure I use them well. So I call it you and me time. I did not come up with that. This was a discussion between Dr. Bratton and myself and how we really felt like you and me time was a better kind of name for what we were asking parents to do. So in session 4, they start to have these play times with their kids, one-on-one with little to no distraction, utilizing the philosophy of child-centered play therapy with their child. They record it, right? This is where vulnerability Maggie was talking about comes in, because then we watch videos in our group so that they get support, not only from me as the facilitator, but other parents as well. And we do structure that support. I strongly discourage other parents from giving critical feedback, or this is what you should do, or this is what you shouldn't do. We really highlight, what is this parent doing well? We have kind of a roadmap about how to give helpful feedback. What areas could you give feedback in to show the strength that the parent had in session? So, and it's really to counteract all those negative comments that parents get in the community. And they do that from session 4 all the way to session 10. So that's a big structure of our playtime. So we're providing supervision as the co-facilitators of the group. We're still teaching skills at this time. So skills don't go away because they start playtimes. We start to build the skills. So now we're giving different skills to parents. And so we continue emotional support, we do supervision, and we're teaching. So it's an active, time goes by so fast in CPRT groups. My students were just commenting on that. Like when I told them most groups are 2 hours if you're working with more than like 3 or 4 parents, and they're like, 2 hour groups? You know, it just sounds like a long period of time. And they're like, now we're the opposite, like only 2 hours. I had to really structure how I got through all this. And I find I do this and da-da-da, which is part of our role as a therapist, is to really kind of be reflective. What are we doing? Where are areas of growth for us? How can I structure this better? How can I support parents? In what ways do I support parents? All of those good things. But so that's kind of the structure of the CPRT group. It does end in 10 sessions if you follow Landreth and Bratton's model. And that is the time limiting is really what sets it apart from the Gurney's model and other filial models.
Yeah. One of the things that I thought was really cool, I was in school, I was at UNT, and I saw a family friend that I, you know, had forever. And she looked at me and she was like, sharing something that she did with her kids and how helpful it was. And like, did you know this therapist? And I was like, I do know that therapist. And she's like, well, we did this special kind of group and it changed my life. And I was like, tell me more. Cause I think I was in the CPRT class at the time. And just that this random kind of like kismet thing that had happened and how beneficial it was and how like it helped her feel more secure and solid in a very difficult time of her life as a parent and in her child's lives. It was really, and the data, you know, so that's like anecdotal, but the data from all the research backs it up.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many fun stories from the groups that I ran for my dissertation of just the impact of CPRT and how it really helped change families, children, parents. And I think the one thing that I hope every parent who takes CPRT gets is just finding that joy in connecting with your child, right? And being more playful with your kiddo. I think that's sometimes things that we forget to do because being a grown-up and adulting is so freaking hard and right, it can just drain those pieces, or we do things to zone out instead of re-engage. And so because we're tired.
Yeah.
It's not because we don't have a desire, we're just tired. And so that's, you know, like what we hope to help parents find in their relationship with their child is kind of this joy and this engagement
with what is engaging,
be playful.
Yeah. It's engaging in them where it's not goal directed. Mm-hmm. So often when parents are like involved with their kids, it's like, let's do your homework. Let's go to school. Let's do this practice and then this practice. And there's always a goal.
Yes.
And so being able to have time where the goal is to know your child.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which they show up and are themselves in those moments and the joy that they feel when having their parents or their caregivers' attention in that way, where it's just them, doesn't happen. I mean, it's not possible. It's like that's not a knock on caregivers. That's just life. And so being able to have these special times that are not goal directed, and they're different than like in my family, they have daddy-daughter dinner dates. And it's different than that. It's because that's still like within the adult realm and that's feeling special and grown up and valued. And this is really like also valuing them and being special in their own developmental way and perspective. And so I think that's an important piece of it. It's different than just one-on-one time. It's one-on-one time where you're allowing the child to lead, to express themselves in ways that are developmentally appropriate. And so, yeah.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm trying to find, sorry, if you see me looking here, I was trying to find Dr. Bratton's original, her study from her dissertation, because it's some of her findings were really interesting. She did a CPRT group for her dissertation. And what she found is, so she tracked parents' engagement with their children in the playroom. So often when you see CPRT research studies, they often do like a pre-post, not only assessments of like, what was the functioning before and what was the function after, but they often do video recordings of parent and children before taking CPRT groups and after taking CPRT groups. And we do some analysis on those tapes of like observational analysis. But what Sue found was that in before taking the filial class, that parents rarely responded to any emotional quality. Almost all of their interactions were educational.
Wow.
What is this? No, no, no. Don't do this. Don't, right? Like it was either behavioral control or it was like testing how smart or what their children knew or didn't know. But I don't think they reflected one emotion in any of her participants. right? And we're emotional beings.
Yep.
Y'all, we have a lot of emotions and we show a lot of emotions. And so if we're not responding to that, right, we're missing a whole part of who we are. And so through the CPRT and filial groups, what she was able to show is that that is a big component that changed as parents were able to attune better to their child's emotional state. And that had an impact on like behavioral responses in their kids.
Right.
Right. And so think in all of the hours of video she watched, a parent never responded a feeling.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And if we really think about it, if I sit, it's not uncommon for me, you know, if I went to Chick-fil-A's playground, right? And their thing and listen to parents, they're not responding like, you're so excited, you're having so much fun, you're doing that, right? That's not often what we hear. And so I don't think it was a like way back when we never talked about emotion.
Oh, I think it's still.
I think
we're trying to. I think we're like recognizing it a little bit. I think that's part of like what that gentle parenting a little bit is like getting into.
Yeah.
But even as someone who's been trained in this, I still struggle to recognize the emotion. You know, it's pieces that are important and helps you feel connected. And we don't always have to teach. Like it's okay or correct.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be, I wish I could find a C word that would really fit with that, but just to be present and engaged.
Well, I think it
connected.
You did it. I think it, I lost my train of thought when I said that.
Well, I mean,
at those moments, welcome to my club.
Yeah. I just think this is really helpful. And I know this is just like a quick overview and I know there's like so much, we will continue to talk about it, but I just wanted to kind of give an overview for Dr. Doss's class. And if
but others anybody, out there who may hear, because what are the popular parenting models in your area, Maggie? What do you hear that happens most often for parents?
Parent-child interaction.
PCIT.
PCIT.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much about it as much as I should. It's just not, I never really.
Yeah. Like, I think different regions of the country have different, like, go-to parenting.
Positive discipline's a big one.
Positive discipline, yep. When I was in Texas, TBRI, trust-based relationship interaction, was a big one. Here, Triple P is a big, so North Carolina, Triple P has a big kind of like place in many of the agencies' parenting approaches. We have PCIT too, also very strong in our community here. Conscious discipline, love and logic, we hear
love and logic
in the schools.
Floor time.
Floor time is in the, floor time.
That was in, the person I knew was in Jersey that was doing it.
Yeah, I don't, I'm trying to remember if that is a parenting intervention or if that's a counseling intervention.
I think it's like, the way I read it was that it's teaching parents how to play, like, and it's like specifically within the autism. With,
yeah, and early children, I believe.
Early, yeah.
Yeah. You might also see CPP, which is child parent psychotherapy.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of parenting approaches out there for parents.
Yeah.
Right. And so I will say, as someone who utilizes CPRT and works a lot with parents, I do think it's important we know what models are in our communities and what parents have taken before. We can't leave it to parents alone. And it's not that they're not capable. I'm not saying that at all. So don't misconstrue what I'm about to say, but it is a helpful responsibility that we have to understand what parents and courses that parents have already taken to help their parenting. And if they're then going to participate in CPRT, how do we link the content that they already know? And how am I teaching this differently than the other model so that I can help clarify any confusion that the parent might be experiencing, right? Or if you get, you know, a response like, oh, I already know about that. They taught us that in such and such. Right. If you're teaching it slightly differently or you're wanting to them to respond differently, you have to really understand those other parenting models. So it is important as child therapists, if we're going to recommend things, that we need to know what options are out there and what are and what kind of trainings and how this will link to a previous training or how it will be vastly different so that we prep parents to join these groups to be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of parenting interventions out there.
Yeah.
For parents. The one other thing I'm going to say about CPRT, and then I know we're out of time. Again, I really could talk about this forever. I feel really passionate about CPRT. I'm grateful for mentorship I've gotten. for CPRT is that one of the things I love most about the CPRT manual, well, there's a few things I love. A, it does require training. So don't think you can just buy the book and you could start a CPRT group. But if you want to facilitate a group with fidelity, right? Like you do need supervision and you should have someone who is very familiar in CPRT help you in that, in your growth as a CPRT facilitator and leader. But it does allow for clinical judgment. So it does allow me to make some adaptions to the model to meet the population that I'm serving, right? So I was talking about this in class last night. I taught a CPRT class last night, which was our final class. And we were talking about, like, I had a student that moved into the mountains of North Carolina in a really populated area of Appalachia. And so, like, she adapted all of the examples so that it was really pertinent and familiar to the parents that she was working with. So she had been working in this population for a little over a year, and she adopted the example so that parents were getting things that they could relate to.
Yeah.
This model allows you to do that. Some other models do not allow you to stray, right? Yeah. They're very scripted. You need to follow the scripted, the script almost word for word to keep it to fidelity. Then CPRT, you can make minor adjustments as long as you incorporate all the components of CPRT over the 10 weeks, right? Then you can talk about using an evidence-based model. But if you really adapt and dissect CPRT in many different ways that is not kept to some level of fidelity, that's problematic. I will say there is a certification. You can become a certified CPRT facilitator.
And we may start those groups.
Huh?
We may be able to start those trainings.
Yeah, we're hoping to start those trainings soon. But they that comes out of the Center for North Texas. That is because of the evidence-based approval that they got. Anytime you have an evidence-based model, it typically has a training model that goes with it. And so that comes out of that component of North Texas. It wasn't because, you know, they want to brand, even though most of the people who really facilitated CPRT do come out of North Texas, in the sense like Dr. Landreth, Dr. Bratton, right? The big researchers in that area for CPRT, not filial, but CPRT, come out of North Texas. But to help with evidence-based and getting the evidence-based standard assigned, you had to have a training module. And so they do trainings and do credential you in CPRT. You can go to their website, cpt.unt.edu, and learn more about the certification process. I do think it's helpful. There are trainings and other things that go with it. Maggie and I are both trainers. And love to train in both child-centered play therapy and CPRT. And so if people are interested, reach out. You can either go through North Texas or come through us. But yeah.
Well, thanks, Christy.
You're welcome.
And we'll keep talking about it, because there's no way that we're even close to, you know, capture like the surface. So
yeah, CPRT is, it's such an, it's so fun to facilitate. It is the highlight when I get to facilitate CPRT groups. I love child-centered. I love play therapy. I love my engagement. But there's something very different about working with a group of parents and really empowering parents in the model to, again, to be the therapeutic agents. One last thing, there's a lot of filial clinicians out there too that I didn't give credit to. So Risa Van Fleet, Jeff Cochran, like there's a whole bunch of people out there also doing filial, which is the model that CPRT is built out of. So I don't, Ginsberg is another one, Barry Ginsberg. So I do want to give them credit as well. They're big names in this field, and all of their wisdom really helped facilitate my knowledge of CPRT. So thank you to all of those people.
Thank you, Christy.
Yeah. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast, Playful Beginnings, as well as go to our webpage, playtherapyspace.org.com.
.com.
Man, I've been doing too many web searches lately. As well as you can email Maggie and I with any questions, or if there's particular topics that you want us to address, don't forget to send us. You can do info@playtherapyspace.com, or you can do Maggie@playtherapyspace, or Christy@playtherapyspace.com. So please connect with us. We love to hear from you, and we respond to your content. So share with us. We're happy to do a podcast in an area that you're really interested in, hopefully, as long as it's related to play therapy.
Well, thanks, Christy. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Have a good meeting. I know your thing binged. And it's Wednesday. We're in meetings all day. So
a knock. So I gotta go.
Yep. Miss you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.